Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the moisture, first of all, you've given us. And Father, we'll just put up with the cold weather. But Father, we just ask that your eyes be attentive and your hearts be open as Brother John comes and gives our message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please be seated. You know, it sounds kind of stupid, but I really missed you guys last week. It was awesome. I got to tell you, when it was first brought to me to consider looking at Thousand Hills, it sounded like going to prison. I mean, you think about it. You know what? In I had a little experience with a little ministry that God had put me in charge of, being responsible for 30 people spiritually, and that's a lot. This just seemed overwhelming. I can't imagine how amazing it is and how much I love you all and how fulfilling it is to get to this wonderful privilege of being part of you all each and every week. And yeah. And I'm just so honored by it. And I was thinking that last song that Olivia sang, it's awesome song. But there's a line in there that I always think of my dad, and it says when he leaves the 99 to come after you, however it's worded there exactly. But there's a spot, and I always remember when we were kids. And if we were gathering cattle and it got really hairy and we lost one, my dad would always say, "Leave the few and save the many." He would always say that. But my God works on an entirely different economy, and he will leave that many in good hands, but he is not going to not go after the few, the one. Our God is a good God, and if that weren't true, I wouldn't have the privilege of being for you here before you right now, and this wonderful honor that I don't deserve, and yet He uses me, and He wants to you. And while I was gone, there was a couple of things that really spoke to me. You know, and the first Thursday, I was at meetings with AFCC pastors all that day, and there was some things that really touched me. And I had got the privilege of preaching before about the good soil and what that looks like. And I got a clearer picture of what the good soil looks like for this to be a healthy body for generations to come. And there's two things. And so this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to talk about this very thing, which I usually don't do that kind of thing, but I'm going to, because God's revealed to me what I want to share with you today and what I want to share with you next week. But today I think that our real issue is that we're confused. And we're confused about who we are and the importance of us. And I want to give you an example. I brought my saddle today, my wood, and I want to describe that saddle. You know, that saddle fits me. Matter of fact, I would tell you that saddle was built for me, and I was built for it. And I can't do my job very good without that saddle. All the things that I like to do horseback, without that saddle, my job is a lot harder. So now, the importance of that saddle has been declared. I got a question for you. What's more important, the horse, the rider, or the saddle?
All of them.
They all come in there pretty high, don't they? It's like, I don't know. You got to have the horse. Without the horse, there ain't no point in that thing. But then the horse, as mighty and magnificent as he is, he don't need the saddle if it ain't for the rider. And if the rider and the horse get together without the saddle, they're functional but pretty dang crippled. And so what's more important? Well, I don't know. It all's kind of got to come together. It's all the parts are beautiful, and all of them are better together. So it is with us as individuals and our church body. And if you'll turn with me for a second to Hebrews 10th chapter. I wrote myself some notes so that I won't get confused. 10:25. I believe in the instance that I'm talking about today that the church is the saddle. And I'm gonna say something that's a little bit shocking when I got to thinking about it. We are equally important to our God as part of the picture here. God is magnificent. He is amazing. He is capable of speaking the entire universe into creation. Just, he spoke it into happening. And as magnificent as he is, he don't need the church. He created it for us. And he created us for the church, very much like that saddle. That saddle was created for me, and I'm created for it. The church is created for us, and we're created for it. And as good as we can have a relationship with our Lord without the church, it's about like riding without a saddle. There's a whole lot that you cannot do without the whole body. And we all know people that are confused about this. We got two things that we're really confused about. One of them is we got this idea. Man, I tell you what, that area is cold coming up behind me. We're confused about that we can be, have the, our relationship with the Lord is ours, and that we really don't have to have church to get along magnificently in this life, and it's a lie. The other thing that we're confused about is that we think that God and the saddle, the church, is more important than our part in the thing. And it's a lie. He created us for the church, and he created the church for us. And if you get to thinking about it, you go back to the beginning of time, all things on this earth and the things of heaven, you study your Bible, all the things of this earth and the things of heaven were created with us in mind. You study this thing, and our God created all of that. He spoke it into the universe. He spoke the universe into creation, and however heaven came to be, it is there. And from the beginning of anything that we can study, the thought is that we're going to be there. It's created for us, with us in mind. We don't put ourselves at that. We think that we're of lesser value to him than that. You start thinking about, he created the entire universe with you in mind. That is overwhelming, and that is unbelievable. If he created us, all of that with us in mind, each and every one of you in mind, to be a part of this creation here and eternity ever after in his presence, he must have you pretty high on the totem pole. A lot higher than any. I'm going to say there's not one of us that regularly thinks of ourselves at that level of importance to our God. Or of that level of importance of ourselves in this time, in this place, and in this universe. We get to judge ourselves, you know, we're good over here and we're okay over there. But really, this guy here has a stronger calling or a better calling. It's a lie. My wife said the most amazing thing at the Valentine's party, and it's really stuck with me. When she got a hold of the mic, she's like, our job is not any more important than each and every one of you out there. And it's the truth. Every one of us has a huge part of this. and what we're called to do and more. Our God created what's fixing to happen with us in mind, each and every one of us. And those that we, once that's our message, it's a pretty easy sell when you start thinking about it. We can go through this life, and this life is hard. But if we're the most important thing in my God's mind, why wouldn't we want to be with him? And why wouldn't we want to share that story with those that are coming up behind us? It's awesome. Yes. That's our story, and it's magnificent. So turn with me to Hebrews for just for a second. We're going to skip around a little bit, but we're going to go here. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now, for the day of his return is drawing near. It comes right out and says that, and I just wanted to lay that verse on you to the church is the saddle. It don't have any purpose without the horse or without the rider, but neither one of them are near as functional without it. Our God can do magnificent things, but he wants the body. It's from Genesis to Revelation. He encourages us to be part of the body. Turn with me now to Ephesians 4th chapter. And we're going to talk about the body just a little bit to reaffirm this and the importance of each and every one of us in the body. And I tell you what, as a study project for all of you when you go home, look up 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. It's amazing, and it breaks down just the importance of each and every one of us in that body and how we all have different parts. But for now, we're going to go to Ephesians 4:25. And then in a minute, we're going to back up to Ephesians 2:6-10. Whoop. If we back it up to 22, actually, I want to back up to 22 here. He's talking about this process. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which was corrupted by lust and deception. We got confused. We're born confused. 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. When we start looking at him, we start understanding the truth of where we are and who we are. We've been confused all this time, thinking that the horse and the saddle was more important than our part. It's not true. But as we start to understand, we are highly valued in this. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. 24, put on your new nature created to be like God. Put on your new nature created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy. Truly doing things right, which we all foul that up. Me, I'm the king of it. And holy, different than the way that we were born to be. 25, so stop telling lies. Let us tell your neighbors the truth. What are they talking about there? It is the Bible. It's the truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And if we ain't sharing it, if we aren't, we have got the most magnificent thing in the universe. We have got the keys to the kingdom, literally. And we are something special in our God's eye, and so is each and every person that we run into, and we have got to share that story. Some of them are not going to get it if we don't. That's the truth and the lies. And then it says, for we are all parts of the same body. Each and every one of us has a part in this body. And this body here is part of the church, the whole body. Wherever they come from, if they're followers of the living God, if they are proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are part of the same church, same body. And in that, we all have different personalities and parts and gifts, but they're brothers and sisters. We are for them, not against them, and they are for us, not against us. It ain't a competition. Back up for a second now to Ephesians 2, and we'll close here. And I want you to understand who you are right here. 2:6-10. This is who you are. This is who we are. This is the importance of who we are in our God's eyes. This is what he created us to be. Verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. I want to read that again. For he raised us from the dead. We were born into death. And when we started seeing him, we saw life. He is the life. Until we knew him, we were not alive and we were not headed towards life. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Our deal don't, it's important now and it gets even more important in the future, though we can't imagine. Seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples for the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. This is our story. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It was a gift from God. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are, I want to tell you this, that we are God's masterpiece. Close your eyes for a second and think about that. I want you to say to yourself right now, I am God's masterpiece. I am his finest work. He created me. He created you for a magnificent work. He created the entire universe with you in mind. Say it with me one more time. I am God's masterpiece. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now and we praise you. We can't even get our minds around it. You had us in mind since the beginning of all creation. And you had us in mind to be magnificent in your eyes. We are magnificent in your eyes. As we're working through our own callings. Now, Father, I pray right now that each and every person in here knows, they know in their knower just how special we are in your eyes and how specific and special you created us. Father, each and every one of us goes through times when we think that you messed up a little bit because we're jaded and we're messed up and we make mistakes. But the truth of the matter is, that is just how you're finishing your work in us. And you're doing something incredible through us, for us, and because of us. It's amazing to think of, the church was created for us and we were created for the church. We are part of the body and you have amazing work for us to do. Father, we love you. I pray if there's anybody in here today that does not know you on this level, that they will seek somebody out. That they will seek somebody out that can guide them to the truth in Scripture and the truth in prayer to you and with you. I praise you for your truth. I praise you for making us to be worth so much more than we can imagine. And I thank you for this body that you have all put us part of, that we can grow and become something special, even more special than we imagined, because we belong to it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.